Don't get boxed in by a whiteboarding app with limited functionality. Try Lucid, the visual collaboration platform that covers your team's entire spectrum of work. With Lucid, you can host virtual brainstorms and so much more. Diagram important processes, conduct cross-functional planning on an infinite visual canvas, power your workflows with data and intelligent automation, and bring your best ideas to life. Try Lucid for free at lucid.co/Spotify.
Previously on No Reserves Radio.
Oh my God, Angelo, come on, have some self-respect. The Eagles can't hurt you if you don't constantly pander to them.
Here's the biggest indictment of Dame that I can say. Dame has been so like off this year that Ren went on live air and said Jalen Brunson deserved an All-Star start over him.
You are now Angelo DiDalulo.
Do you think it is possible that the management of the Memphis Grizzlies are just buying into the reckless youth movement, and they got rid of the one person in the locker room that probably was telling Ja to knock it off?
Because he's taken advantage of me multiple times when I was younger. That sounded bad. Holy shit.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think you're correct in that assessment.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to No Reserves Radio. I'm your host, Ren. With me, as always, Angelo. Austin is still out of town for another 2 days. He will be back in 2 days. So he has told us he will be at the next episode for sure. So
I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah, you can hold him to that.
No one else
kind
does.
Of a decent amount to talk about today. First thing we'll talk about, just because it probably is the most important thing we could talk about today. If you follow the NBA in any stretch of the word, you already will have heard this because it happened 3 days ago as of the time of the recording. Jerry West, the logo, passed away on June 12th. If you don't know, again, if you are new to the NBA, when you see that NBA logo with the player dribbling the basketball, that's actually Jerry West. He was a player for the Lakers forever. I can't even put into words, because we're so far separated from the time that he was playing, that if you look at his resume, you would be arguing him as a top three player of all time, right? Do you disagree? Agree, disagree?
At his time, yeah.
Well, I mean, because, like, look, like, let's just go through the highlights real quick. NBA champion, NBA Finals MVP, 14-time All-Star, NBA All-Star MVP, 10-time All-NBA First Team, 2-time All-NBA Second Team, 4-time All-Defensive First Team, 1 All-Defensive Second Team, scoring champion, assist champion. As an executive, he won 8 more times. He was a 2-time executive of the year for the Lakers. I think I don't want to say this without checking. I'm pretty sure he has like the most points per game in an NBA Finals. BBG. No, he's up there, though. Rick Barry is actually the leader. Jerry West is number 5 behind AI, Giannis, MJ, and then it's Jerry West. Sad day for the NBA as a whole. Humans are weird. We respond to tragedy in certain ways. Dylan made the post that Jerry West would rather die than see the Boston Celtics win another NBA championship. Dark humor. Some people like it, people don't. I thought it was kind of funny because Jerry West hated the Celtics. But, yeah. Sad times. Also sad times, moving along. During the game last night, Charles Barkley announced he's retiring from television after this season.
What?
Yeah, you didn't see that?
No.
Yeah, so basically with the whole NBA broadcasting rights still up in the air, which is kind of crazy to me, they don't really know whether NBA on TNT, like that crew, will stick together. And Charles Barkley is basically saying, regardless of what happens, because he doesn't want to go work for another network, he's hanging them up. I can't imagine this will be the last we see of Charles Barkley. I just think as a mainstay...
You think he'll transition to, like, podcasting or a different media?
I don't know, because he seems kind of like a guy that just once he's done, he's just like, I'm just going to go enjoy my life. I still think just because he's been such a mainstay of personality for the NBA for so long, they'll still try to keep him around here and there, like whether that's doing color commentary for a Suns game or popping in on broadcasts on whatever network it's on. It's not Bally Sports anymore. That's all that matters.
Yeah.
It'll be strange to see an NBA like Tuesday night without the crew. But I feel like the rest of them will probably just transition to whatever the new network is and establish that early brand notoriety, I guess, with the new network. I don't know.
It's just going to be weird.
It's going to be very weird.
Change is weird. That's...
But, like, here's the thing. Let's say the rest of the crew stays together, right? Technically speaking, because Charles Barkley would not give his rights to 2K, we've been seeing Ernie and the rest of the crew without Chuck for a while now.
In 2K, yeah, not in real life.
So we've been a little bit desensitized to it. We are expecting it. We're used to it. I don't know. We'll see. Speaking of NBA Countdown, so last night they had Paul George on during the game. Or the plan was to have Paul George on. While walking around the arena, Paul George ran into Joel Embiid. They had a conversation, and I don't have... There it is. So, Bontemps was waiting outside the bathroom, and Embiid walks by. He told Embiid that PG was there. He's doing Countdown. Joel says, well, I'll do Countdown. Bontemps texted the producer and said, I'm bringing Embiid to the set. Joel had a nice chat with George, sounding like about free agency. So, sounds like PG and Embiid are doing a little bit of a tampering. Is that the word? Yeah.
That's the correct word. You got it.
Yeah. So, going forward with that, because we don't have it, like, we have no context for what that could mean, whether it's teaming up on one of their current teams or moving to another team, or if they're just talking about free agency in a friend context, who knows. Once they were on NBA Countdown, Joel Embiid says he doesn't think the Celtics will be a dynasty. You also got to understand the whole East was hurt this year, myself included.
That goes into a different thing I wanted to talk about, actually. But yeah, no, it would... I'm not going to lie, it must really suck for Embiid, because, I mean, you can say he's a stat padder and he, you know, just farms points, but he really does. When you see him play, he's giving his heart and soul out there, especially in the playoffs. And I have to imagine it's frustrating not getting past the second round ever. I'm actually kind of curious what Embiid's thoughts were about Giannis saying that last year when they got eliminated by the Heat, that losing to the Heat wasn't a disappointment. Because I think to Embiid, and I don't know what's going on inside his head, but I think to Embiid that must be a very privileged thing to say, because Giannis has been to a finals. He does have a ring. He does know what that experience is like. I'm not gonna lie, wouldn't it frustrate you to be as good as Embiid is? And the furthest you've gotten is the second round.
It's tough.
It would be for me. It would be for me.
So it's tough for sure, or it would be tough. But you also have to think of it a different way. So Embiid saying the East was kinda hurt this year, myself included. Joel, we need to have a sit down conversation. You're always injured.
He's 7 foot though. Here's the question though. Are you implying that that's inherently something Embiid's doing or isn't doing that makes him more prone to injury? Because it kind of sounded like that's what you were saying.
I don't think he's doing anything that's making him more inherently prone to injury. I mean, if you're being pragmatic, flopping is not exactly a safe way to protect your body, because you're throwing yourself on the ground or whatever for no reason. Is that necessarily causing injuries? No, I just think Joel Embiid has had a lot of really bad luck. And
yeah.
But at the same time, like, at this point, it's been consistent. Didn't he miss his first two seasons?
I'm pretty sure with a meniscus tear or something similar to that. Yes, he did.
Yeah. Hold on, let's real quick, just before we get into the rest of the episode. Injury history.
Joel Embiid, that's going to be a long list.
It's going to be very long. I mean, it's not as bad as Kristaps Porzingis, for sure. Is there any way to easily... random. May 24th, 2024, so this was last month, report Joel Embiid's injury history has agents warning players about joining the 76ers.
Wow.
Variety of injuries. Is that the one I'm looking for? Orbital fracture. Torn thumb ligament. Knee soreness. Ankle issues. Torn meniscus. Mostly it's freak injuries, but like, after a certain point, you just kind of have to accept, like, this is an unlucky player, and I don't necessarily even believe in luck. There's something going on here that would scare me, because he's now, like, it doesn't feel like Joel has been in the league that long, because he's missed so much time. But Joel's 30. He's going to be 31 next season. He's had injury histories throughout his career. If I'm a free agent, is that something I'm considering? Because a lot of money is going to be tied up to Joel Embiid. So you're not going to have a lot of help if he goes down.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just tough for me.
At the same point, it's a pretty good core, because you have Tyrese Maxey and Joel. That's a pretty good duo to build around. It shouldn't be that difficult to get stuff around him, because I'm trying to think of there are duos that are better, but I don't know how much better. Like, how much better do you think Jamal and Jokic are than Maxey and Embiid, especially now that Maxey has kind of like broken out, and he probably still has a little bit more room to grow.
I'm not saying it's not better. I mean, how much better do you really think it is, though?
I don't think it's that much better because I think Jokic is significantly better than Embiid.
I don't know if I can say significantly, but I can say significantly better.
In the realm of superstars, right? Like when you're talking like ones and twos, like a two is significantly higher. Maxey, I think, is better than Murray, at least this season for sure.
Or comparable, I think.
But I think that the core around Maxey and Jokic are significantly better. I will say significantly in that world.
Significantly better than...
The core around them.
Than the Nuggets?
The Murray and Jokic. The core of the Nuggets is significantly better than the core of the 76ers. Sorry.
Okay, you were about to lose me on this one. You were about to really lose me on that one.
But it does just strike me as interesting that this is Joel attempting to trash talk the Celtics, right?
Yeah.
Because he's saying the Celtics only won because the East was injured, right?
Sure.
Homie, you lost in round one to an injured Knicks team. Like, it's not like you made it past the first round and you played against an injured team, a significantly more injured team than yours. Go, like, look at the rosters that the Knicks were putting out. Now, granted, that's not a knock on the 76ers because I'm a firm believer you can only play the team in front of you. Injuries are a part of the game. Whether the East was healthy or not, the Celtics team was probably going to the finals. They are that good. And we're seeing that every night in the finals. I just think it's Joel trying to stir a pot because he hasn't made it past the second round.
Must be frustrating.
But go on. It's sorry.
Probably very frustrating. More. So, Klay Thompson, has officially unfollowed the Golden State Warriors on social media. Do we read into it?
I don't think he's coming back. I think the core of the Warriors is effectively done. We're just waiting to see where the chips fall.
The only reason I think Klay is out in Golden State is Klay wants prime Klay money. And he's not going to get that in Golden State. No, he's not. He's absolutely not. But he's the only one that doesn't realize that. I do think a team will overpay for him. Whether it's for veteran leadership. It's going to be a young team that has a lot of cap space. Like, I'm thinking like Orlando.
Yeah.
Like a team that needs a little bit of veteran leadership because he is a solid leader. And you still do have those vintage Klay games from him. It's going to be really, really weird to see Klay Thompson in a different jersey, though.
Oh, for sure.
Next. So, Rick Carlisle, Pacers head coach. He was asked about drafting Bronny at 50 or 51. Which Bronny's current projections are Current projections are in that 50 to 55 range. So the Pacers would be in a position to take him in that range. So Rick says, I'm going to go on a limb here and predict that he goes quite a bit higher than that. I don't want to get into trouble, you know. I've been fined enough this year during the playoffs. So, one of three things here. The Pacers also hold 36. One, he's saying the Lakers are going to take Bronny at 17 because LeBron is going to, you know, LeGM that.
LeGM!
Because that would get Bronny a better contract and, you know, LeBron's looking out for his son. I don't think there's anything wrong. Like, if you have that kind of influence, go for it. Absolutely. Bronny is not worth that. Two, He's saying the Pacers are going to take Bronny at 36. And then, you know, basically to do one of two things. Either a slap in the face to LeBron because your son's playing in Indiana now. Ha ha. We got the last laugh. Enjoy those Miami days. Or to attempt to lure LeBron to Indiana and be like, ha, now you get to play in the Pacers, who, you know, whatever. Or three, which is the most likely, a team is going to reach on Bronny because his combine was pretty nice. And you do get that
LeBron's son. You didn't think he'd have a good combine? Come on now, son.
I mean, like, the shooting looked real nice. Like, it wasn't just the physicals. The physicals you expect. But he looked overall pretty nice. I still think he's worth a second round pick, but when you have the potential to draft LeBron James' son, potentially lure LeBron to your team for, you know, a last dance type scenario, I would spend a high second round on that. Like, even just for the jersey sales that it's going to bring, right? Because...
Oh, for sure.
Just because it's LeBron James' son, he's going to probably sell a lot of jerseys early. Now, if he doesn't perform in the NBA, it's going to flop. But then also, if you do attract LeBron to your franchise, then you're going to sell the most jerseys in the league, so you're going to make a ton of money that year. Which of those three scenarios do you think is the most likely? I think the Lakers is the funniest for me, but I think it's the least likely. I don't think the Lakers would take Bronny at 17. I hope the Lakers would not take Bronny at 17.
Would that be the most Lakers thing, though, to take Bronny at 17, though?
I think it would be the most LeBron thing.
No. No, fuck you, Ren. That is totally on brand for the Lakers. Stop this. Like, why are we pretending like the Lakers are a well-run organization, dude?
Like, oh, they're absolutely not. They're, like, basically, like, bankrupt, aren't they?
Yes. Like, I don't know. I think people's perception of the Lakers is different than reality. Perception. That's the word I was looking for.
Oh. Hold on, I'm...
Oh, okay. I'm about to say, I was waiting for you to rebuttal. I was like, this
No. I was Googling the Lakers salary or Lakers financial situation because I feel like it's rough. Like, from an ownership standpoint. But Bobby Marks basically, it's an article that was posted like 12 hours ago. Mm-hmm. LeBron James to make big announcement after NBA Finals, which I guess that's not really a shocking thing because one, we know we're at the end of LeBron's career, so he could be saying, oh, I'm only playing two more years. Two.
Yeah, that's probably the expected.
He's opting out of that contract one way or the other because he can sign an extension for more or he can leave in free agency. Like, there's nothing, like, I guess the only thing that would really be shocking is if he was like, this is my last year.
You think because, so?
Yeah, that would be shocking to me. I can't find anything. I swear. I swear the Lakers are, like, losing money right now. Speaking of the Lakers, real quick, Dan Hurley, he rejected their offer. I realize we haven't recorded an episode since that happened.
Which is funny, by the way. I'll go on.
It's pretty funny. But they were offering him $13 million and he turned it down. So,
yes,
I wonder if UConn gave him more money. I don't really follow college
basketball. I don't think so. Like, I said it on the last thing, some people just like to coach in college better. Maybe that's him. Maybe it's not. Maybe he realizes what
I was saying on the last episode, which was, why in on God's green earth would you want to go to the fucking Lakers and A, have to deal with LeBron and the expectation of winning now this season? LeBron AD and the expectation of winning now this season. B, drafting Bronny and having the pressure of drafting the greatest NBA player of all time, son. And see, like, here's the thing. I don't think the Lakers gave him the control he would have wanted or desired. That's just reality. I think the control in LA right now is with LeBron until he leaves, if he leaves. And I think the sales pitch with the Lakers is probably similar to something like, it'll be yours after LeBron is out. The problem is, I'm not sure if the Lakers draft Bronny, whether that's 17 or wherever, if your job is really that secure while LeBron is there, if you're not winning, especially not in LA.
Yeah.
It's a fool's errand. I'm sorry. I love LeBron. You can say biggest LeBron stan on the podcast easily.
Probably one of the biggest LeBron stans in the world.
Yes, I am up there. I'm in his Fab 3. I am in his Fab 3. Hopefully you're old enough to get that, Ernest. Anyway. The coaching position with the Lakers right now is fool's errand. That's just my position. It's fool's gold.
I mean, literally. It also helps that he basically got the contract he wanted from UConn afterwards, so maybe he was just using it as leverage.
Maybe.
That's also a possibility.
Did the Lakers actually end up signing someone after they got denied, or are they still in, like...
No. are now interviewing J.J. Redick for the job. The problem is with the NBA Finals still, like, with the season still going on...
You can't tamper?
There's some potential coaches that they can't interview yet.
Right.
So... I don't think we will know who it is for a while. J.J. Redick is a strong case, but I don't know if it's a good fit.
Maybe I'm crazy, but if I was J.J. Redick, the Lakers would not want be the first guy I would want either.
Right, and I don't know if necessarily J.J. fits Lakers culture.
He doesn't. He really doesn't.
I think he'd be a good coach. I don't know if he'd be absolutely a good coach in LA. I think like a New York, he'd fit in New York, no problem. Well, I guess we can talk about the finals.
Yeah. We've delayed the inevitable. Is it time for my victory lap? Should I get my running shoes on, Ryan?
So it's not time for your victory lap, and the
it's gonna be after tomorrow.
Okay, so Mavericks won game 4, 122-84.
Very decidedly. From Jump Street.
Prior to last night, the series was 3-0.
Yep.
Right.
No
team has ever come back from 3-0. Ever.
Yep.
In any sport, I think.
False. It's happened in baseball. I know that.
It has happened in baseball. Okay. I don't know baseball. So, in the NBA, it's never happened. So, it has to happen eventually.
Right.
There has to be a first.
Sure.
This series isn't over yet, Angelo. You can't
this
have a
this series is over,
you
Ryan.
You cannot have
the series
a
is over. I might as well do the lap now, Ryan. You don't want to have the false hope and then me do the victory lap later for them to lose this next game. I'm telling you right now, you don't want that to happen. You don't. I heard the beer crack. You're going to need way more than you have right now.
Yeah, I decided to go ahead and I decided to go ahead and open it before you start.
You're going to need way more than you have now if you wait and hold off and say, well, Mavericks, no.
Okay. Well, can we at least talk about it before your victory lap?
Sure.
Because it was a hell of a game.
For the Mavericks, yeah.
It was a hell of a game in a lot of ways. So you got to remember that Luka and Kyrie went 1-for-14 from three.
Yeah, no, the Mavericks didn't necessarily have a good game.
They did. Well, they did. No, they had a very good game. Just
not from three.
No, 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 Angelo. See, what you're doing is you're doing the 2K thing. The Mavericks played hella good defense. Even Luka was involved. Kyrie
absolutely
locked up Jason Tatum on a possession.
Homie, they were like 5-for-15 from three. I'm telling you, if I'm the Celtics, even with the ass whooping that just happened, I'm not worried.
So there's a few things that do give me pause if I'm the Celtics. One, Kristaps was available to play in game four. He'd ended up not suiting up. I don't know how available he actually is because everything I've read on the injury, again, I'm not a doctor. I just read opinions from actual doctors.
Mm.
Was he should not play.
The rest of the series?
The rest of the series. So I don't know if it's like one of those things where it's day-to-day game time decision and then like Kawhi, I think it was last year or the year before where it was game time decision, and then as soon as the series ended, it was, oh, he's done for the year, season-ending surgery.
Right, right.
Without ever playing another minute after it. So I don't know if it's to keep the Mavericks on their toes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, NBA players, like athletes in general, are the exception to the rules, right? Yeah. Like, an injury that would put you or me down for weeks, like, they're rapping and they're playing on. So, it's hard to say. I will say that every week, every season, Kristaps Porzingis introduces us all to a new injury that we've never heard of, to a body part we've never heard of. So, thank you for that, Kristaps.
You are educating the masses.
You are educating the masses on the human anatomy. So one thing that does give me pause is a lot of people tuned the game out once garbage time started, and garbage time started pretty early.
Third. It started midway through the third, dude. Like...
But Tim Hardaway Jr. tied Steph Curry and Ray Allen for a record for most three-pointers made in a single quarter. Tim's kind of been a non-factor for a little bit here. He's always been a walking bucket, not necessarily a high-volume scorer, but he's someone that you can rely on to go out and, you know, get you 10, 15, whatever. He's kind of been quiet for a while, so having him basically get the green light to find his shot during the NBA Finals, that's something, if I'm the Celtics, is going to be in the back of my head. Because you have two players in Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic who are elite at creating shots for other players. And if he's hitting like that consistently for the rest of the series, you suddenly lost your biggest advantage, which was the fact that you can outshoot this team. Because you get another guy going.
So.
You don't think what?
I think that's hopium on an extremely high degree.
No, I'm not saying he's going to go out and get like 10 threes a night. I'm just saying it gives them another weapon. It spaces the floor a little bit more. If he starts actually hitting at a decent clip.
Oh yeah, sure. We're going to do Derek Lively is going to start hitting from 3-2. I mean, he hit three last game.
Okay, so
I mean, maybe he's a threat now, you know, if we want to keep the hopium going, you know.
So, interesting you mentioned Derek Lively, because that three, that whole sequence of events.
Yeah, that started the downfall.
Well, but that whole, you were probably asleep by the time that happened. So he hits the three, runs to the other end, blocks a shot, runs to the other end, catches an alley-oop. It was immaculate play from Derek Lively, and that was Derek Lively's first three, I believe.
It was.
I think he attempted two during the regular season. I was reading his stats earlier. But if you go back to college, Lively was shooting the three pretty decently.
The college three is an NBA mid-range, though.
Right. But you look at how confidently Lively pulled that shot, and it was the same confidence he had shooting in college. Not necessarily for this series, because I don't think suddenly Derek Lively's going to start like chucking during this series, but it is, from the Mavericks' point of view, something that you're hoping he's adding to his game going forward.
One would hope.
Could it have an impact in the series? Probably not, but you know, maybe.
No, it won't. It won't, dude. How much improvement are you expecting him to make on his three-pointer in a week? Here's what's going to happen. They're going to try it again in this next game. By the way, spoiler alert for the next game. They're going to try it again in the next game. It's going to miss, and then he's going to go away from it. And then that's that. And then we move on to the next season.
Here's the thing. He's always had that in his arsenal, though. He's just never used it. So it's not, is he suddenly going to get good at it? He only attempted two during the regular season.
Right.
And one of them was a half-court heave at the buzzer.
Right.
So technically, he's only attempted two shots from the three-point line in his career. And as of right now, he's a 50% shooter. So to say, he's going to get good at shooting, he already can shoot. It's the confidence. Because what did he shoot in college? Hold on. I get that it's not the same, blah, blah, blah. College shooting. I don't watch college ball. Derek Lively shooting stats. This is all complicated to find.
Mm-hmm.
I'll keep searching while we talk. No, indeed. Like just college stat. Like I don't know. Like there's not a college basketball reference. Wait, is it just on? Does Basketball Reference have?
Yes, that's actually where I'm going now. Oh, look, it's right here. He shot 15.4% from three in college in his year in Duke.
Yeah. That's enough to stretch the floor.
Oh, God, don't you dare.
No, that's enough of a threat. You can't leave him wide open.
15.3 from an NBA mid-range is enough to give you pause.
Yes. You would be stupid.
Oh, my God.
Drew Holiday, -38, was the worst plus minus in NBA Finals history.
Yes, he did not have a very good game.
Luka Doncic, highest plus minus, +26.
He's been good the whole series. I can't say anything about that game.
Yeah, it's Luka. Luka's gonna Luka. The only thing is, I wish Luka would spend less time complaining. Like,
all about the no calls or sometimes
in,
the
just
calls
in general,
themselves.
Just in general, because he fouled out and he was complaining the whole time. And like, you don't do yourself any favors. If you're complaining to the refs, they're going to not give you favorable calls. Like, let's just be, they're humans. If you're annoying them, they're going to look the other way.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you think it's almost to the point that it needs to become a rule that players cannot talk to refs during gameplay? And if they do, it's an immediate technical. Because, like, at this point, like, it is a punishment because if you're complaining to the ref, you're not playing defense.
Yeah,
and you keep
defense,
playing 4-on-5. But from an NBA fan standpoint, not from, like, the X's and O's standpoint, would you rather watch basketball, like, played instead of complaining?
So, yes and no. So, basketball is a very individual sport. Okay, let's be real about this.
For sure.
We care about the players. So I do think there is some value in the sense that the players showing emotion and it getting caught on camera does add to the viewing experience. We're not talking about the game. We're just talking about from a viewer's perspective. I do think that does add something to the viewer's experience. Being able to see your best players, you know, complain about a call and saying, this is bullshit. Showing passion and emotion in critical moments.
I guess, so, my train of thought is, like, has there ever been a situation in any sporting event ever? At all? Any? Where the ref doesn't make a call. And then a player complains and the ref goes, oh shit, you're right, my bad. Blow the
Never
whistle,
happens.
Everyone come back here and we're going to start from that moment because I
Never
missed
happens.
It.
That's so, like, That's not what I was saying about that, though. I wasn't saying it's going to change the call. I'm saying it's part of the entertainment process.
I don't think it is, because it's just kind of annoying. I don't care if it's my team doing it or the other team. Like, shut up and play. Like, what benefit are you giving the fan? Like, what fan is like, oh, yeah, Draymond screaming at the ref again? And also, how funny would it be to see Chris Paul just fuming as Scott Foster is talking to him and Chris Paul can't say a word?
No. No, absolutely not.
So, like, what if it was, like, to a certain point, ref's discretion, player gets a warning if they do it again, then, because it does impact the product. We have too much complaining, too much whining, too much, like, we have too much sacrificing the, I can't believe I'm saying this, the integrity of the game. The complaining to refs. Like, at what point do we just say, okay, this isn't wrestling. This is basketball. We're not here to see the sideshow that is Scott Foster versus Chris Paul. There also needs to be some kind of accountability on this. I'm saying that I think it would be beneficial for the league to get to a point to where it's just basketball. Like, that is the focus. Because we've gotten away from that in a lot of ways. Because definitely, I don't think that the players are solely to blame. I think there does need to be accountability on the refs. And maybe there is, and we just don't see it. Like, if you're at work and a customer complains about you, does your boss then call the customer to let you know, like, what kind of discipline they handed out? No, that would be unethical.
Right.
Yeah. So, like, we don't know, like, how or what standard refs are held to. And I do think people need to be mindful of that, because it's not something that we're going to know. Like, we don't need to know that. They could be fined. They could be put on a suspension from certain high market games. We don't know. But I do think that there needs to be more, because too often it feels like games are decided by refs, which, again, as of right now, it's part of the game. I am in favor of getting to a point to where there's less influence. Because, again, I'm watching a sport. I want to see the better team win. And that doesn't mean the better team on paper. That means the better team that night. And I don't want there to be an impact of a third-party referee. Like, I don't care what you saw, everything should be reviewable. And it doesn't need to take 10 minutes. Like, you can have another official up on a replay room watching everything immediately and be like, okay, yeah, no. That was out on Draymond. Like, Nuggets ball. It's not complicated. It wouldn't take that much more time. And the product would be better because of it. I'm not saying, like, with baseball where it would be really easy to just be like, okay, here's a strike zone, here's where the ball goes, and a computer is going to tell you if it was a ball or a strike. That's apparently crazy talk, because we want the 75-year-old guy with glaucoma to make all the calls, because that's somehow better. But I do think adding another official that's watching a monitor and we're actively getting the right call more often, we would see more of the better team that night winning. Because there's a lot of times where a team plays better, and then you look at the free throw differential, or you look at the turnover differential, and if you actually break it down, you'll see a lot of, like, bad calls. Why would we not want to fix that?
Because nothing. Them's the breaks.
Them's the shakes.
Them's the breaks. Human error is part of
sports, and if you take the human error part of the sport, whether or not you want to admit this, you also take part of the entertainment out of the sport.
But the human
don't want to watch automatrons out there, dude.
But the human error should be on the part of the players. I totally agree, human error. Like, so, have you ever heard of the hand of God?
No.
So, Maradona is considered one of the greatest soccer players of all time. And was it during the World Cup or during the Olympics? I don't remember right off. Hold on, hand of God. So the hand of God was the 1986 FIFA World Cup. The referees did not have a clear view of the play and allowed the goal to stand. Human error, right?
Yep.
So Maradona flicks the ball with his hand. Now, I don't know how much you know about soccer. You're not allowed to touch the ball with your hand.
Yes.
Knocks it down to himself when a defender was trying to, or no, the goalie was trying to save it. Scored a goal. Human error. Broke the rules. Human error. Like, there's an extent to where human error is a bullshit excuse. If...
But here's the thing. It's like cops and driving. If the cop doesn't see you're speeding, he can't pull you over. It's kind of the same thing. If the ref doesn't see that...
Right, right. But what I'm saying is that there is a rule book, okay? So what's the rule on traveling?
Can't do it.
No, but what is the rule? How is the rule written?
If you take more than two steps, it's a travel.
Right. So if the ref doesn't see you,
then it's not called.
Does the rule change?
No, the rule doesn't change.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that if LeBron James takes six steps, but the ref doesn't see it, the other team should be able to be like, hey, no. Oh, yeah, the guy that's upstairs that had a view of it says it was a travel. Dead ball. Like why do we not want, like, the rules are made for a reason, to give us a competitive game. Human error should be in missing a shot, throwing the ball out of bounds, dribbling it off your foot, like we saw from Tyrese Halliburton, and like, that's human error. Human error isn't guy behind play, didn't see it, thought the other team hit it, so he's going to give you the ball back. Why? Like, what benefit is that in terms of a competitive gameplay experience?
It's not about the game. It's about the entertainment. It's about feeling things. And if you want to say, okay, we'll feel enough things just through the natural process of, you know, the games being played and winning and losing, I guess. But at the same time, there is a certain feeling that comes when your team doesn't get a call, and no offense, but
or annoyance.
Well, that too, but at least you're feeling something. That's the thing. So let's say someone was like, okay, the barbershop talk. This was a travel. That was a travel. They call travels. If your rebuttal is, well, the computer system deemed that this is the exact rule, and this exact rule deemed that this was not a travel, and then that, like, come on, dude. Really? Sometimes you just want to bullshit around, dude. And min-maxing and making everything the perfect and ideal, and this is the most accurate call of all time in every game, like, no. Sometimes I want to see someone fuck up and it not be the players.
So you're fine, like, in baseball. Let's use baseball for an example. Like, if a team were, like, using steroids, but the refs don't know about it, so it's okay.
Happened for years. Hell, I've said Barry Bonds should be in the Hall of Fame.
No, but only one team, right? Like, that's a fair game. Because them's the shakes. Forget the fact that we have the doping policies, and one team is following them and one is not. The refs don't know about it, so it's okay. That's entertainment.
Doping isn't a league. It isn't, like, okay, on the field. It's a national organizational thing. It's
one team.
The league's problem. Huh?
One team is corking their bets.
Then that's on the referees to check the bat, and then, yeah, that's the shake.
Oh, but they didn't see it, so it's okay. So it's okay.
Yes, because they didn't catch it. Them's the shakes.
So dumb.
Like, that's the thing. If it's a league thing, yes. Like, no. But if the ref doesn't catch it, because the ref is there to enforce the rules, and if the guy there doing first rules doesn't see the rule being broken, yes, them's are the shakes, my friend. You don't get so okay. So let me ask you this then: are you someone who likes the automatic radar guns at the stoplights, where they will tag your speed, and then if you are caught speeding on that gun, they will send you a ticket in the mail, and you have to pay that ticket? You like that system?
I don't speed.
Fuck you. Fuck you, motherfucker. That's all I gotta say.
I like following the rules.
Anyway. Oh my god, dude. God damn it.
Okay, so let's go to football, okay? So let's say Bengals are in the Super Bowl, okay?
Yep.
All right, absolutely, okay?
Yep.
And you have a field goal for a lead. Okay, so you're up by 3, correct?
Yep.
Okay, so you're playing against who would be an opponent for the Bengals in the Super Bowl?
Well, they played the Rams in the last Super
okay,
Bowl.
Okay, so they're playing the Rams, okay? And the wide receiver for the Rams gets like 20 yards of separation. He breaks the ankles of whatever your secondary's players, I don't know. It's irrelevant to the analogy I'm trying to make here. He's got 20 yards, maybe 10. 10's more realistic. And the Rams QB, whoever the hell he is, throws the ball up. And he overthrows the receiver. Right? And it's at the buzzer. And the game's over. But wait, a ref that didn't see the play threw a flag, pass interference, touchdown, automatically.
That's not how that works. But...
No, if it was in the end zone. Like, that's where he saw the
contact. Interference isn't a touchdown.
If it's inside the...
So you have, like, to play. You have to do the play over. If it,
really?
if a pass interference is called, you can't get a touchdown off it. You can get to the 1 yard line or half a distance to the goal, whatever it is, but you cannot get a touchdown off pass interference. What would happen in that situation? Flag pass interference. If it's like at the one, you call it at the one, and then the clock's at zero. They get one more play, and then you go from there.
Okay, so let's. You have a 2-point lead. You got a safety at some point.
Yep.
So they blow it down, and now it's at the 1 yard line for a field goal, and now you lose it.
Yep.
Should that play be reviewable? Should that play be reviewable?
I don't know.
So you don't think that a 10-yard separation, the ref threw a flag, there's no player even in the area. You don't think that you think the entertainment value, the feelings we feel of annoyance at a bad call, is worth that? Or so, do you think, or common sense like the NFL does, and you throw a challenge flag?
Here's the thing. If you think that penalties should be challengeable, do you also think no call should be challengeable?
It depends.
And if you don't, how is that fair?
So it depends. It depends. So, from a certain point of view, yes, because in the NHL, for example, they kind of are. They're not challengeable, but they are reviewable. And it isn't unheard of for a clock, like a game clock, to get to like 12 minutes and then reset to 15 minutes because we're going back to when the penalty occurred. I don't think that no calls should be reviewable during a live play, right? So, like, if Derek Lively were to block Jason Tatum and it's a foul and it doesn't get called a foul, but Jaylen Brown gets the ball back and the play keeps going, they're like, you can't stop the clock for a no call. I'm more talking like, if he blocked it out of bounds, yeah, let's look at it real quick. Not necessarily take 20 seconds to look at it, but the guy upstairs can just, oh, boop, one button, push, done.
Because that's kind of the thing. So, in a perfect world, should a bullshit call be challengeable? Absolutely. But at the same time, if you have a bullshit call and the thing that's bullshit about it is there was no call, how do you balance that out? That's my perspective. That's why I'm hesitant to say should it be challengeable when it's not able to be challengeable when it isn't a flag, when it should.
I think
that's where my head goes. And that's why I'm more or less acceptable saying them's the shakes. A human made that decision. He fucked
I think
up.
Them's the shakes is fair on a lot of calls. But it shouldn't just be the normal. I don't know. So you are against the idea of not letting the players, because in the NHL, only the captain and the alternates can talk to the refs at any time. You would be opposed to something like that in the NBA where you like a captain who's allowed to talk, and like it would be someone like a Tim Duncan that's not gonna whine and complain. Like you pick a mature player on your team.
Yeah.
Where they're the ones that are the middleman between the team and the refs.
Yeah, I would be against that. I think I really would, yeah. Yep.
I just think it detracts from the game because I'm not a wrestling fan. I'm not here to watch the sideshow. I'm here to watch ball go in hoop. That is what I'm here for.
I'm here to watch ball go.
Like, that's what I enjoy.
Three-point shot go burr.
And it provides me no value when a player is not playing. Again, I get that it's detrimental to their team because they're playing a man down, but I also like watching good defense in basketball. So I don't know. That was a very long fucking derailment.
Interesting conversation, on. Quite honestly.
I mean, it is an interesting conversation. And I'd be interested to hear if other people agree with either of us.
I think the way we did it, one of us is like, you're either on your perspective or you're on my perspective. I'm not sure how much wiggle room there is to add.
No, you really can't. Like, life is not black and white, but I feel like this is something that you kind of have to be on.
Yeah. It's either, yeah, exactly.
I guess you could be kind of in the middle and be like, well, I do think change of possession calls should be reviewable, but I don't think, you know, every call should be reviewable. So I guess that could be like middle of the fence.
That's fair.
Or like you think that all calls in the last 2 minutes of the game should be reviewable, which
I think that's a good rule.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. I think the league will start shifting in some ways, and we'll see.
Okay. So are you ready for my hot take that you might not feel like it or not? So here's my take on the playoffs this year.
Yeah.
So first things first, my assessment of the East was basically a battle of attrition. And the team that came out at the end is the team that had the least amount of injuries, generally speaking. So the East kind of left you wondering, like, what would have happened if all the teams would have been relatively healthy? What would the series have been for the Cavs if Mobley? Well, actually, I think Mobley did end up going.
Mobley did
end
up hurt. Yeah.
Yeah. What would it have been like for the Cavs and Celtics series if they didn't lose Mitchell, Allen, and Mobley during that series?
And not to derail, but that's an interesting thought, because what's the future of the Cavs after
that? If they beat the Celtics. Yeah. 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 That's another that the East injuries kind of changed the way the East is looked at, I think, in a way. Whereas in the West, my assessment of the West was the West had a lot of teams who, and I think they're good teams, who were perceived as very good teams, but one team disappointed very, very poorly. We didn't see a lot of results based on injury per se. At least I don't think there was. Yeah. I think that what we saw was the Timberwolves, like, I'll use the Timberwolves for example. They looked like fucking world beaters after they beat the Nuggets, and then they disappeared versus Dallas. Their role players did. Couldn't tell you where they went. You said they had the deepest team, the sixth man of the year, disappeared. Absolutely, yeah, no, fucking
they,
disappeared.
They disappeared entirely.
Yeah.
So hold on.
Go ahead.
So let's So after the first series, they looked like world beaters, and then they disappeared. Correct?
Second series, I think. But I think they got Denver in the second series.
Yeah. So they looked like world beaters, looked like the best team in the NBA, and then they disappeared,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Right. So this is an interesting thing, okay? And I don't want to go off on another like whole tangent, so don't.
We are definitely going off on another whole.
No, I'm trying not to do it here.
We're going there, bitch.
So we do this thing as sports fans, okay? Where we say this happened this series, this happened the next series, and we don't think that's possible within the context of a current series, right? So
we
acknowledge the Timberwolves, best team in the NBA, and then they disappeared, right?
We called them, yes, absolutely.
But it was because it was a separate series. It wasn't just they started playing more poorly.
Right.
And what we do is we don't, for example, we're not saying that's even a thought for the Boston Celtics in this series. Because it's this series, right? Because they're in this series. And we don't consider that they could suddenly look like the worst team in the NBA from here on out.
The Timberwolves disappeared the whole series.
I'm saying it's an interesting thing we do as sports fans, where we just say this series is in a vacuum. The next series is in its own vacuum.
I guess that's fair. Yeah, you're right. That is fair.
It's just an interesting thing that we do as sports fans, and I'm guilty of it too. I'm not saying I'm not. I'm just saying it is weird to me that we don't just say, okay, because it wasn't like the Mavericks did anything different. It was just suddenly
they disappeared. The
Timberwolves just forgot how to play basketball.
So it's
just an interesting observation I've made, and again, I'm guilty of it too. I just wanted to point it out that
My take is going to make this much worse. So, first part of the hot take. The second part is going to be a hot take. Okay. First part of the hot take. I think the East was actually more competitive than the West. The East was just more injury prone.
Oh, I think that's a fair assessment. I think the East. So the West has a reputation of being more balanced and competitive. And yes. I think that's fair, but I think the East in general has better talent top to bottom.
Yes.
I think the West just has more of that top end talent because throughout history, we've had like the Warriors or the Nuggets or this year, the Timberwolves, where like their ceiling is off the charts, but their floor is a little bit lower. Whereas in the East, the ceilings might be a little bit lower than in the West, but the floor is a lot higher. Like, you get a lot more depth in the East, and a lot more, like, overall scoring, which generally matters in the playoffs.
Here's my hot take.
Okay.
A lot of things would have to break right for them on matchups. Like, I don't think they could have beaten Denver. But based on how I saw the West shake out, I think your Indiana Pacers could have made the NBA Finals on the West side.
It's tough. But at least as of now, like, the Pacers gave the Celtics
the best matchup.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think the Pacers would have beat the Nuggets or the Timberwolves.
The Timberwolves disappeared, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. If they disappear, but if the Celtics disappear, the Pacers make the finals. Like,
yeah,
that's a game of what ifs. But
I guess that's
on paper, I don't see the Pacers overcoming the Nuggets or the Timberwolves. Not saying they couldn't, but it is interesting that how badly the Celtics have beat
everyone,
and then the Pacers were one or two possessions away every single game.
And then they lost Tyrese.
And yeah, but I mean, the series was
effectively,
that was not a winnable series. Like, it could have been if, again, calls went different ways. full circle. But
full circle.
I don't think that's necessarily a hot take, because I feel like if you browse Reddit, like, a lot of people are saying that, like, the East was a lot tighter, because all of those
teams, East players got hurt. That's just what happened.
But I don't think that's necessarily because the Nuggets disappeared, the Timberwolves disappeared. I don't think, because again, we look at things in a vacuum. Those are still two of the top three teams in the league. They performed awful at the end, but
they did.
I don't think it's crazy.
Kind of the thing. We look at teams the way they finish, and the way the Timberwolves finish, and more actually, I'm more concerning to me is the way the Nuggets finished. Quite honestly. It leaves a taste in your mouth as a fan or someone who views the NBA to watch a team go down like that.
That's fair. I don't know if I could say, I guess you can only look at it as this season, so the East was better, but again, on paper, they shouldn't have been. On paper, the Mavericks shouldn't be in the series.
Correct.
But them's the shakes.
Them's the shakes. I think that's the title of this episode.
That's a good title, actually.
Thank you. I'm very good at things.
As long as you tell yourself that.
And I believe it with all my soul.
So do you want to take your victory lap?
Well, it would appear as if you're not ready for the victory lap, so no.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. I want you to take your victory lap just because one of the only things keeping me going is the fact that next week we could be back here and I could just silently be sitting here as you have to leave the episode and say the Mavericks won. As Austin and I just chill.
Let's see. All right. So perfect. Then. So you're ready. Then you're ready. There's no going back. I'm not gonna stop midway through just because you're like, okay, that's a little bit too. No.
Okay. Honestly,
you're ready.
I want to get this out of the way before Austin comes back. So let's just do it.
Okay. So let's just do it. That's what he said. Let's just do it. Okay. So first things first. For predicting basically how the entire series would turn out, I was right. Would you please predicted game one, game two, game three, and game four correctly. Please go ahead. I'd like to hear it.
So far, yes, you have.
Okay. So what does this mean for Luka Doncic? Well, if Luka Doncic is the player that we think of he is, that means we need to come up with some new embarrassing titles and statements for him. So I have some names that I would like to throw out to you that if ESPN or FS1 would like to steal to use in their headlines, feel free. In fact, hold on. Are these available as gamer tags? Hold on.
I need to provide a little bit of feedback.
Okay, go on. Yeah.
Would you sit still? You are like oscillating in volume.
Moving away
from your mic, and it's driving me insane with headphones. If someone is listening to this without headphones, I apologize. Sit still.
Never. Okay, so name one. All right, is this a good angle? Sorry.
That's fine. Just
okay.
Stay on one.
Okay. So my first name is Donnie Disappointing. Donnie Disappointment? Donnie Disappoint. I don't know. Which one do you think? Disappointing Donnie. Disappointing Donnie. Okay. Disappointing Donnie. That is.
Has anybody ever called Luca Donnie at any point in time?
Nope, but it sounds very, very condescending and I love it. Disappointing Donnie. Let's see. Is that a name?
Okay.
Go on.
So, regardless of the outcome of this series, are you really going to say Luka had a disappointing series?
No, I'm saying that he is the leader of his team and he's going to get the blame. So, you know how we like to call him Luka Legend? Luka Legend? Luka Legend.
I have never heard anyone call
him. Austin calls him Adada all the time. So Luka Losing, is that an available name? Is that an available name? That is an available name. Let's go.
What do you mean an available?
Huh?
What do you mean an available name?
On Xbox.
Oh my God.
So Luka Losing or Disappointing Donnie? Which one do you like better?
Disappointing Donnie.
Are
those the only two names you have?
I think so. Right now, like, you got any good ones? I it's kind of hard. Because Luka and Doncic, you know, that's kind of hard to make things go with. You know what I mean? There's only so many words. You know?
I'm what just you impressed you can say Doncic.
Wow. That's so mean. I really should have bet on these finals. I really should have bet on these.
You probably shouldn't have, because I'm sure the favorites were the Celtics.
No, that's fair. That's fair.
Don't waste of time.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Sports betting in general is kind of a waste of time.
Yeah, you're not wrong about that.
It creates this weird sort of like viewing bubble. Because, like, imagine the one you never bet on your teams. Like, that would be stupid as hell to begin with. Yeah. But, like, you're rooting for, like, under on Steph with 35. Oh, I'm taking the under. And then you're rooting against him when he's dropping 81. Like, the hell? Like, what? We've lost the plot entirely on sports. And that's kind of my whole point. Because sports betting has taken over. You're weird like wrestling entertainment focus over basketball. Like, why are we not just watching ball go in hoop? Why is that not the focus? Like, there's a whole song about love and basketball, and it's about dribbling up and down the court. It's not about, like, suplexing the ref into the scorer's bench. It's not about how your parlay hit. It's about putting the ball in the hoop. Where did we lose the plot, Angelo?
Oh, we lost the plot a long time ago, Frank. I think, quite honestly, if you want to get, since I'm done with my little victory lap.
That was your victory lap?
Yeah, I'm going to keep it short. I got to say something's gross.
That was like 2 minutes.
That was more than 2 minutes.
No, it was like 2 minutes of, so like, I'm talking like in NFL terms. You got 2 minutes of like playtime for like 10 minutes of work. Way to go.
I don't know about that. In fact, I'm kind of disappointed that you didn't refer to me as Nostradamus in the intro, quite honestly.
That will never happen.
That will never happen, huh?
I would have to lose a bet, and I, as we just established, I don't bet. So, like,
man.
Yeah, we could come up with something. We'll come up with something. It won't be a bet. Okay. It will be like you have to earn that.
Me and you have both decided we need to change our Xbox gamer tags. Because
I'm not changing my Xbox gamer tag to disappointing Donnie. I am not doing it.
Why not? You can't. I already tried.
Oh, good. I wasn't going to.
But I am changing it to something just for Austin. And bye.
Oh my god, you're actually doing it.
And anyway, sorry, go on. What were you saying?
I don't know what I was saying. I am so confused by this episode. We're supposed to be talking about the NBA Finals, and instead we're coming
NBA Finals
up
are over, bro. Celtics in 5. Come on, get with the program, Ren.
We'll find out tomorrow.
Celtics.
I don't think so. Two things. I don't think from the NBA standpoint, it's beneficial for the series to be over in 5.
No, it's like, not. You're right. Like, the NBA actively has a reason to put the fix in for the Mavericks.
Right. We've actively established that we're okay with the refs deciding the outcomes of games. Right. That's, we just had a whole like 30-minute conversation about that. Adam Silver is probably doing a little Irish jig every morning because... Is he Irish? He's probably
I don't know.
He's probably doing a little jig every morning because he has a big market team in the NBA Finals.
And yeah, he's got the Celtics, and he wants to see them win. Yeah, and he's got Luka. Yeah.
So, like, okay, let's look at that from a entertainment standpoint, right? What would be more entertaining? The Celtics win again, woo, or the modern Celtics choking Hazard and Tatum, blow a 3-0 lead for the first time in NBA history, and lose to poster boy Luka Doncic?
Honestly, I think the Celtics win in 5.
That's... I'm asking you which one, like, draws a bigger headline.
The Celtics win in five.
Then the
because
Celtics,
then you can put Luca loser or disappointing
you think,
Donnie
you
as
think
your
that's
titles.
A bigger headline than perennial choker Jason Tatum blows 3-0 lead in NBA history. You think
yes.
Dynasty franchise wins again is
and
a...
then we make and we have offseason making fun of Luca even though he has no reason to be blamed. It's absolutely yes, I think that is more entertaining, quite honestly.
I'm so confused.
So what was so timeout? What was better for ESPN FS1? When LeBron James won a championship or when LeBron James lost a championship game, championship series?
Probably what? When LeBron lost.
Exactly. Very much so. Very, very much
right,
so.
Right, right, right.
So
right, right, right
what
right,
do you but... think? No. We're not doing this. We're not doing this right now. So it's a different era now. Now it's podcasts, and now it's, you know, shows like the Pat McAfee Show, who now get to be shown on broadcast television. So there are more of those people now. It's not just First Take, or I don't even know what the other ones from the 2010s was.
Pardon the Interruption.
It's not just First Take, Pardon the Interruption. Now there's 500 million jackasses in their computer desk talking about, hi, how's it going? Talking about the NBA Finals. So let me tell you this much. What gets more clicks? Disappointing Donnie disappoints in NBA Finals again, or...
Again.
Celtics blow through the... Go ahead.
Again. Angelo, how many times do you think Luka's been in the NBA Finals?
I don't know. You seem to count his foreign stats, so I'm sure he got there. Yeah, you didn't expect that comeback, did you, bitch?
I mean, I did. Like, it's you. I just don't see how you think that's more entertaining than... Because, like... There's
I'd rather put fucking disappointing Donnie in a title than
no,
Celtics
no, no.
choke
I,
again.
I totally get that because then you would be wrong. I'm saying that from a entertainment standpoint, because remember last year they had the ruffles with Jason Tatum on him and people were taking pictures and putting choking hazard underneath it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Jason Tatum blows 3-0 lead.
But here's the thing. We've done that already, Ren.
We've never
yes,
done
Yes, we
that.
Have! You we've did the never... choking hazard thing. You done did your jokes. You done made your memes.
But
Luka Doncic is a new person we can make fun of and meme to death.
Angelo. Because, yes. Angelo, do you not remember the LeBron James picture with the sunglasses and the earbuds? No team has come back from 3-1. No team has come back from 3-0. This would be on Jason Tatum's legacy forever.
Forever.
Nobody at the end of Luka's career, nobody's going to give a shit if he lost in this NBA Finals.
Depends how his career goes.
No. It will be a footnote.
Yes.
As long as he makes another couple. This specific finals will not matter.
That's
it will be the most recent
it
one.
It depends how his career goes.
But it would be crazy to assume he won't at least make one or two more.
Why?
Win them is just because he's that good.
And?
LeBron James carried a team with a guy named Booby on it to the NBA Finals.
Yes, he did.
Luka's good too. And he's
not
always going to have help. I don't know.
I don't think that's a debate. But quite honestly, even if you don't want to get into the schematics of LeBron James versus Luka Doncic, I do think that the NBA now is different, and I'm not quite sure if we are going to see one guy will a team kicking and screaming against their will into the NBA Finals again for a long, long time, quite honestly. I think the whole dynamic of the NBA would have to change again.
And it probably will, because we went away from super teams to dynamic duos.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, from an entertainment standpoint, like, Jason Tatum...
Give me disappointing, Donnie.
Jason Tatum blowing a 3-0 lead. That's something that
people... Can I make that a hashtag for a keyword, disappointing Donnie?
Would be something that's being memed forever.
Yeah, it would.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, oh, Luka lost 5 or 4-1. Where's the meme? Like, I get you're trying to make disappointing Donnie happen, sure, whatever. But it's you just lost the finals. It wasn't embarrassing. It was just a finals loss. Losing a 3-0 lead, that's embarrassing. So from an entertainment standpoint, that's the outcome you want. Do you still disagree?
I completely disagree with you. Okay. I'd move to strike.
Yeah, I mean, it's what you want to do. But we'll ask everyone else and get opinions. I really cannot stress that you are wrong enough here. because it's just, in that situation, it's literally just Luka lost to finals. Jason Tatum, in that situation, choked to finals. Luka's not choking. Right? Because you can't choke if you're down the whole time.
I can't choke if you're down the whole time.
Is that wrong?
I like that. I like that. I like that a lot.
Is it wrong?
It's not wrong.
Right. So, like, but if Jason Tatum loses after being up 3-0, what would we call that?
Tatum tanking?
Tanking Tatum.
Tanking Tatum.
I'm not participating in this. No. No, this is your shit show. You clean it up. Oh, God. What else? Do you have anything else on Tatum?
No.
Brown. Okay.
I do think Jaylen Brown's going to get the finals MVP after tonight.
I do too. I was going to say. I think if the Celtics win, it has to go to Brown. I desperately, desperately wanted Al Horford to get it, but I think it would be a travesty if it went to anyone other than Brown. I think he's earned it. Unless they blow the lead. Then it's going to Maxi Kleber.
I'm rolling with the assumption that it's not going to happen. Not this year.
It has to happen eventually.
It does have to happen eventually.
So why can it not be?
Oh, wait, whoa, time out. Has it never happened in the playoffs, or has it never happened in the NBA finals?
I know it's never happened in the finals. Hold on. Okay, so. There's an article posted today. An NBA team has never come back from a 3-0 deficit to win a series in the playoffs.
Okay.
Teams that have opened a 3-0 series lead in the NBA postseason have gone 156-0.
Yes. So do you know, it didn't happen in the World Series. I don't know if it happened in the, did it happen to Cleveland? Was that 3-1 or 3-0? But anyway. So when it happened for the first time in baseball, Do you know what the two teams were?
Why the hell would I know that?
Because they're two of the most prestigious historic teams in baseball. You could probably get them.
Boston Red Sox.
That's one of them. And who do you think of when you think of baseball? And that's the team. Those are the teams that it happened to. The Yankees had a 3-0 lead. Boston came back and won it 4-3. So imagine. So when something that like that happens, imagine it as a team that has a legacy with the NBA. Now, granted, the Celtics are that team. They are the legacy team of the NBA. But do you really want it to be the Dallas Mavericks who does the impossible? Or would you want it to be like the Lakers?
Maybe even
the 76ers. The Knicks.
Oh, God, you're making it worse.
Yeah. Huh.
No, I'd rather it be the Mavericks. Nope, than any of those teams. The Lakers don't need more success. I prefer the Knicks being in mediocrity because, you know.
Oh, my God.
Who else did you say?
76ers, Knicks, Lakers.
76ers won't do it because when, like, counting, like, how many games are left, Joel will get hurt. Who else? Who else could it be?
I'm just doing historic teams. I'm not...
Historic teams. Spurs would be good. I'd like to see the Spurs do it.
Either way, and
there's been four teams in the NHL to come back from 3-0. 1942 Maple Leafs, the 1975 New York Islanders, 2010 Philadelphia Flyers.
It happens in hockey more than it happens in baseball or in the NBA, obviously.
I think hockey, it's easier to do.
It's easier to win four straight games after losing three straight games.
You've got to think about how, like, compared to those sports, how fickle scoring is in hockey. And also just how long, like, MLB, it is kind of surprising just given how long the MLB has been going. It's only happened once. But
I think it's happened since then, but that was the first time. I'd have to go.
No,
but anyway,
the article I'm on actually has.
Oh, the Red Sox Yankees comeback.
Well,
okay.
It says Red Sox. It doesn't say Yankees. It only has the teams that won.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, there's only been one. Be in the article posted today at 8:43 a.m.
So perfect. So, when is your light bulb moment with the Mavericks that you're will? So if they win this game today, I still wouldn't say the Mavericks won. I think for me to seriously pause, the Mavericks would have to push it to game seven. Where is yours? Are you confident if the Mavericks do it today that they're going to do it? Like where is your, where they got this?
So, the game tomorrow, not today. Today, as of the time the episode releases, so I guess that's what you're saying. The Mavericks have to win in the Garden. And if they do that, and they do it rather decidedly, like if we see that same Mavericks team come out defensively, even if they don't make any changes offensively, because they did not have a great offensive game. They scored 122 points, but it was a lot in garbage time.
Yes. And their three-point shooting while the Stars are on the field wasn't there.
So, for me, if they win tomorrow in Boston, I still would say that the odds, like, if I was setting betting odds, I would say the Celtics are still the favorites. But I'm a lot more confident about them taking or making the comeback and forcing games. Now,
what games, if they win the game in Boston? If they win the game in Boston, do you think game six is kind of a conclusion? Like the Mavericks are going to win in Dallas?
I could see that because you have all the momentum. You're coming back into Dallas.
Mm.
The question then is game seven, and I feel like that's kind of a toss-up because at that point...
I don't think it is. I think if this gets to game seven, the Celtics are losing. That's just mine. That's my thought.
I think that they're going to have their back... If it gets to game seven, the Celtics are going to have their backs in a corner, and I think they're going to be doing everything they can. I think we're going to see like legacy games from a few players. Because again, like... If Tatum blows this, that's his career. Like, he will never live it down. Jaylen Brown, he'll kind of slide under the radar because regardless of if you think Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown are the best players on the Celtics, Jason Tatum is the face of the Celtics.
Yes.
And, like, all the things that, like, Tatum has
so you acknowledged it. You just acknowledged it. You acknowledged. Even granted, Tatum didn't play good. Brown is the MVP of this series so far. But you acknowledge if you're the face of the team, you take the backlash no matter what.
Yes and no.
Thank you.
Because the backlash is deserved. I didn't say that Brown wouldn't face backlash. I'm just saying it's not going to be comparable to Jason Tatum. But you also have to remember that Jaylen Brown has not done the shit that Jason Tatum has done. He has not shared a screenshot of his text to Kobe's phone after Kobe passed. Like, oh, playing for you tonight. Like, Jason Tatum has done all
Jaylen Tatum. Jaylen Tatum. The ultimate Boston Celtic.
Jason Tatum has not done a lot to help his case in terms of not getting memed to death by the fans. Like, Jaylen Brown has done some dumb shit. Like, the misspelled Was It Really Naismith on his shoes last year.
Yeah.
That was dumb, but, like, it wasn't something that people have memed. Because, like, people have made that screenshot of Jason Tatum's phone where he texted Kobe's phone with Kobe replying and saying, "Lose my number." Like,
oh no.
Or who is this? Like, Jason Tatum has set himself up to be a memed player. So if they blow this series, it's going to fall on him. And it's not just because he's the face of the team. It's because he's let himself, like, if the New York Knicks were in a similar situation, like, people aren't going to be like mocking Jalen Brunson because Jalen Brunson seems like a quiet, humble dude. Like, his podcast is very informative. Like, it's great
podcast.
Huh?
I said it's a good podcast.
Yeah,
but
with Josh Hart.
Yeah, but regardless, here's the thing. If Luka has the career that we believe he can have, he's going to be in multiple finals.
Yeah.
The context of him scoring 30 points and him playing good in this finals is not going to matter. What's going to matter is that he lost this finals. Whether or not you think that's fair, I agree. I don't think that's a fair assessment that we just look at the end result of the series, but them's the shakes.
Them's the shakes. I just don't know how much I'm willing to say that, like, at the end of his career.
It just depends how his career go.
Like, even then, like, let's say.
So he doesn't make another finals again.
He never makes another finals.
Okay.
But he wins MVPs and. Yep. He's an all-star for the rest of his career, and he makes All-NBA first team. Are we really going to, like, villainize, oh, you lost 4-1 or 4-2 in the NBA final? No. Like, we're going to say, okay,
he's still a Hall of Famer.
That's a blemish
on
your
career. He's not in the top 10.
Right, and I'm not saying that. I'm saying
from an entertainment standpoint, because we're still talking about what's more entertaining.
What's the entertaining thing? Go on.
Luka Doncic losing a playoff series isn't entertaining. Entertaining.
Yes, it is, actually.
Well, it's not. Not compared to a team blowing a 3-0 lead. There are
I just want to see this so
way,
bad.
The only way, the only thing that would be comparable would be like LeBron James and Steph Curry team up and they got swept. That would be comparable. But just, oh, a star player lost in the finals. That happens every year, Angelo. That's not entertainment. Compared to...
It is if he's the face of the league. And you did say he is.
But it's still not. It's still not comparable to something that has never been done in the history of the NBA. Happened to one of the most storied franchises in the NBA. And to one of the most memeable players in the NBA. Like, it's not even comparable. It's just a star player, regardless of if he's the face of the league or not, lost in the finals. That's just a story that we have at the end of every season. So, I don't know. You got anything else?
I do not.
Okay, go ahead and do the outro. I don't feel like...
You don't feel like doing it? He ran his head too much alcohol.
No. I've talked way too much. I'm losing my voice a little bit.
Okay.
This has been a very talkative episode compared to normal.
It has. It has been a very good episode. Very, very good. We got tanking Tatum. We got disappointing Donnie. We got everything. So if you guys like tanking Tatum or disappointing Donnie, then why don't you guys subscribe? Do things. Engage. Give us feedback. Tell me how much you hate me. It seems like people like to do that to Run. Just tell Run. Do me a favor. Just tell Run that you hate me, okay? It's okay if you tell Run that you hate me because I just ignore Run. So it works out. So just give the feedback. If you want to support what we do here, we do have different avenues to support us, like Patreon and such. But honestly, listen. Comment your thoughts and engage.
And share us with your friends.
And share us with your friends.
That honestly, that was the most run-on outro I think I've ever heard. Is that how you do it every football podcast?
No, I have Alex do it every football podcast. So
I made a mistake. I thought you did it. So I thought you were comfortable doing it. My bad.
Kinda. I mean, that wasn't a bad intro. That was a bad outro. Stop it.
It was a terrible intro.
Fuck you. Them's the shakes.
Outro,
bye.
Outro was a little, it was a run-on. I mean, I'm guilty of run-ons a lot. Like, I'm doing it kind of now, but, like, typically not.
Finger run-on! Get the fuck out of here, Ryan.
All right, see you guys later.